For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he'd given thanks, he broke it and he said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." We're going to watch a YouTube clip and then I'm going to talk to you about the Lord's Supper.
Start on the outside, the outside looking in. This is where grace begins. We were hungry, we were thirsty, with nothing left to give. Oh, the shape that we were in. And just when all hope seemed lost, love opened the door for us. He said, "Come to the table. Come join the sinners who have been redeemed. Take your place beside the Savior. Sit down and be set free. Come to the table." No one unwelcome here. And that sin and shame that you brought with you, you can leave it at the door and let mercy draw you. To the young and to the older, all who hunger, all who thirst, all the last and all the first, all the paupers and the princes, all who failed, you've been forgiven, all who dream and all who suffer, all who loved and lost another, all the chained and all the free, all who follow,
come to the table.
I love that video. And I love the way at the end he brings bread and wine. Did you notice that? The man at the end. It inspired me last summer when we'd had a bit of trouble on our street. So I live in a terraced house, and my house faces out onto a main road. And then there's a little side street and the cul-de-sac at the end. Parking is tight. It's really tight. Always has been. And last summer, we got a letter through the letterbox. It was posted, and it was a handwritten address and a typed letter. And it was a very unpleasant letter. And it was threatening to take people who park on the side street to report them to the police for parking there. Even though it's not private, it's a public byway, I think they call it. But anyway, it was a really unpleasant letter, and it said it was from the Salisbury Street Committee, which is the little street on the side of our house. And when I got it, I was upset, because sometimes we park on Salisbury Street. Well, there's nowhere else for us to park, but we park because I need to get out. With my dodgy leg, it's quite hard for me to get out. We could park in front of the house, but it's harder for me to get in and out of the car. Anyway, I thought, what would Jesus do about this letter? So I decided I would go and knock on everybody's door on the street and ask if they'd sent the letter, and then ask if we could talk about it, because I was thought I was the only one who'd got the letter. Anyway, nobody said that they'd sent the letter. So I did find out that my neighbours that were facing the road, they'd had a letter, and the four terraces on the other side of the road, they'd had the letter. We'd all thought it was just aimed at us, and we were all upset and felt there was a committee that had been formed, and they were all talking about us and not come to talk to us. So I went back and I prayed about what I should do, and I said, "What do you think I should do, Lord?" So he said, "Have a party." So I made invitations, and Polly and I went round and put an invitation in everybody's door and said, "We're going to have a party. It's going to be at 4 o'clock, and there won't be food. There might be some nibbles. Bring what you like to drink, and let's all get together as a community." It was a huge success. Everybody came, they all brought chairs, and we all sat outside our house, which is normally where we could park our car, but we all sat out there, and people brought nibbles, and we sat and we had a drink, and we all got to know each other. There were four people who were new to the area who just moved in, so they got to know the neighbours, and we had a really lovely, lovely time. And my hope was that through meeting each other and talking to each other, we wouldn't have to send nasty letters. We never found out who sent the letter. I wonder if it was the one couple who didn't come to the party. But it's made me think about sitting round a table and talking to each other. I remember very early on in my ministry, there was a bit of unpleasantness between the, we called it a ministry team, but the deacons, there'd been some unpleasantness. And so I wanted to nip it in the bud and asked everybody if they would come to our house for tea, and we'd have a meal together before we had our deacons meeting. And it did the trick. And I said, "This is the new way we're going to do things. We're going to talk." And I think that's really important, gathering around a table. And I know that I've mentioned this lots of times, because it's one of my favourite scriptures in Acts 2, where it says, "Day by day they spent much time together in the temple, and they broke bread at home." And I love that image of the early church gathering together, breaking bread, and talking about their days and praying for people and bringing people that they care about to the table in prayer. I don't know if you've ever watched The Chosen. I'm addicted to it. But a lot of the scenes are with Jesus and the disciples sat around tables, gathering around a table and talking to each other. Because one of the things I love about being a Baptist is the fact that anybody can break bread. Anyone can break bread and remember. And I think that breaking bread together is worshipful, it's pastoral, it's missional, and it's something that can be done anywhere and in any context as we gather to remember. And I wonder why we've made something that Jesus gave us that was so simple to do. Why have we made it so complicated? Pastorally, breaking bread together nourishes the soul. It deepens devotion. It renews us and transforms us. It refreshes us. It heals us. And it humbles us. It reminds us of the sacrificial nature of discipleship. It reminds us of how we are called to follow the one who gave himself sacrificially out of love for each one of us gathered here. It unites us, because when we stretch out our hands to receive the bread and to hold the cup, we're all the same. We're sinners that are being transformed by the grace of God as we take hold of the bread and the wine of life. And breaking bread is truly sacramental. It's an outward sign of an invisible grace. It's a sacred symbol of God's life-giving love. And as we practice breaking bread, it becomes so much more than just sharing a meal together. Because what we see and what we sense and what we experience in the breaking of bread, we begin to see and we begin to sense and we begin to experience in our daily lives. Because we begin to see, sense and experience the signs of God's love all around. And as we do that, we want to share it. It's too good not to share. We want to share what it represents, that it's who we are. We are blessed and we are broken and we are thankful and we are a shared people. So today we're going to break bread together. We're going to gather at the table. And as we do so, I thought it'd be interesting for us to look at the different elements on the table and what they represent. And so today, when we break bread together and when we remember, we can also look at the elements on the table and they'll have new meaning for us and hopefully deepen that connection we have with the Lord. We begin with the table, a table that speaks of 2,000 years of history, a table where people have met and gathered and eaten and drunk to remember the first time that Jesus did this, on that first Thursday, on the day before he went to the cross. I've never thought about it like that before, but for over 2,000 years, people have done that on a Sunday morning and remembered. And that's quite amazing that we're part of that. And as we gather around the table, we're reminded that we're not alone. We gather with those who are part of our journey. We're gathered with those who hold us up when we feel unsteady. Those who have inspired us. Those who have shown us God's way. We gather with those who we love, with those who might feel broken, those that we worry about, and those who worry about us. We gather to share life and faith and love. And we remember the one who came so that we could live our lives in all its fullness. And then the table is laid. And the table that is laid tells another story. There's the cloth. The cloth that represents the communion of the saints. those who've been washed clean of their sins as they turn to Jesus. And we each have a place amongst each of the thread and each of the stitches on the cloth. For we too can be made clean. For we too are forgiven. And the cloth also represents the grave clothes, the grave that was left empty with just the cloths, where the death, we remember, was overcome, and where the resurrection conquered all. And we each have that promise of a resurrection life. And as we all remember, we can recall how there is more to this story than a body that was broken and blood that was shed. And we remember it through the Bible, which is on the table as well. The Bible that contains everything we need to know about this story. The story that we're going to remember today. It begins with nothing and it ends with everything. The Bible tells us a story of covenant, a story of love, a story that is life-changing, a story of truth, and a story of eternity. And as we remember the story, we remember that we are part of something so much bigger than this room. We stand with the worldwide church together on this day. And on this day we will remember the Last Supper. And on this day we will remember what Jesus did for us. And then there is the cup. The cup told the first disciples of their history of walking with God, who chose them and who loved them and brought them out of slavery. The cup tells us the story of the blood shed for us, so that we might know how much God loves us and the freedom that he offers us through death on the cross. And then we have the bread. The bread that speaks of a life shared, of body wholeness, of body broken. The bread tells the story of how Jesus brought wholeness by being broken for each one of us. And as we lay this table, as we prepare and get ready, we can remember how in the breaking we are restored, how in the shedding we have freedom, and how together with the communion of saints, we can each stand in hope, because we know that there is more to life than that which we see before us and around us. And the candle that I lit at the beginning of the service, the candle that speaks of the light that never goes out, the Christ light, that even the darkest of darkest places is still able to light. And it reminds us that as we remember this story, we remember on the darkest of days, there is always light. And as together we watch the candle flicker, we can bring ourselves to God. And I invite you in the quiet to bring your brokenness to him and ask him for his mercy, his grace, and his forgiveness. So let's just take a moment. It says in 1 Corinthians 11, the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup and said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." And so as we gather at this table, it's important that we remember the world in prayer, because the table tells the story of the one who died for the whole world. And in this very broken world, there are so many who need to experience his story of restoration and of new life. So let's take a moment to remember the broken ones of the world, those that are starving, that are living in war, in poverty and illness. Amen. Can I invite the servers to join me as we share this meal together today? The body of Christ that was broken for you, do this and remember. The blood of Christ that was shed for you, drink and remember. And we're going to hold our cups and drink together as a sign of fellowship. The blood of Christ that was shed for you. Amen. Now we have gathered at the table. We have been reminded of all that God has done for us. And in this story that re-centers us, that holds us together in what unites us, that speaks of restoration and forgiveness, a new life, a life in all its fullness. This table levels us. It calls us equals. However we are feeling, whatever we have done, however well our ministry in life is going right now, and takes us all to the place that the child is in, who to every question in church answers, Jesus. This table reminds us that there is always hope, there is always forgiveness, and there is always something more. For Christ has died, and Christ has risen, and Christ will come again. This table reminds us that God's kingdom is here. And after sharing a meal in fellowship, as we go out into the world, as we go back to our homes or we go back to our everyday, I ask that you would remember this, that God made us as us, that God called us as us, and he takes us by the hand and he leads us on. Amen.